I would say it's a good day for the parents of some of our choir members to be with us. Thank you, choir. I'm preaching from the Lamentations text today, so hold on to it as you hear it. Anybody here ever heard a sermon from Lamentations? One. Not me. We'll do something different today. We'll see how it goes. Lamentations, we're starting in the first chapter, the first six verses. Hear this word from God. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She that was great among the nations. She that was a princess among the provinces has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile with suffering and hard servitude. She lives now among the nations and finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the festivals. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young girls grieve. Her lot is bitter. Her foes have become the masters, her enemies prosper, because the Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away, captives before the foe. From daughter Zion has departed all her majesty. Her princes have become like stags that find no pasture. They fled without strength before the pursuer. And from the Gospel of Luke this day, hear this word. It is a familiar story of faith like a mustard seed. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Then the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, and later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what is commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lamentations, maybe obviously, is a book full of lament. Now, lament is a very specific kind of form, literary form, of poem and liturgical language used to express deep pain and sorrow and suffering. Lament, however, never stops just at the place of suffering and sorrow, but always comes to a point where we can find hope in God. Today, however, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay true to the text that we have, which is the first chapter of Lamentations, a chapter that just talks about the pain of the people of God being in exile. So what happens is that the Babylonians come into Israel and they destroy everything in sight. They destroy the temple. So their house of worship is gone. They destroy any opportunity they might have of making money. So the economy is shattered. And then they exile the biggest and the best and the brightest of the land. They take them from there and carry them away to somewhere else. So think about a place, a city with no professors, no lawyers, no business people. Think about a city with no doctors. Wait for it. It's going to come. Think about how demoralizing that is to the people who are left behind. And some of those people would have been your relatives, your friends, your neighbors. Families were separated, broken apart. It was a time seemingly of no hope for the people. And here, the author of Lamentations, generally thought, understood to be Jeremiah, the prophet, says, "Woe to us. Our city is decimated. The people are gone. The economy is shattered. We can remember a time of better days when the sanctuary was full and downtown Wheeling was bustling and all was right with the world." And those days are gone. So you're waiting for the uplifting, exciting part of this, I can tell, but it's not going to come today. We're going to get there, but it's not going to come today. In a very real way, this is Jeremiah's Make America Great Again speech. And I don't mean that in any snide way, but think about we elected a president in part in this country because he said to us, "We were once great. We remember a time when every family was like Nelson and Harriet." Isn't that who they were? Ozzie and Harriet. Ozzie and Harriet Nelson. The Nelsons, that's what I meant to say. Yeah. We remember that time when the economy was good and we had morals and all was right with the world. And if we just make America great again, we can have that again. It's the same kind of attitude that Jeremiah is talking about here. We remember a time when our city was bustling, when people came to Jerusalem to worship, when our families were whole and all was well. And it is no more. How are we to live in the midst of this? Now, here's the thing. Because we're stuck today in chapter 1 of Lamentations, we never get on through the book where Jeremiah brings to us a notion of hope. Where Jeremiah says, eventually, God will restore the land. And in this, we can have hope and faith and know that all will be right with the world again. And the commentators that I read about this chapter say, "Be very careful, preacher, because if you preach and you just keep people in this sense of woe and lament, they will get incredibly uncomfortable and not like your sermon that day." One of them went so far as to say, "Make sure all the music, especially the postludes and the preludes, are all in minor keys, so people get the sense that they're supposed to just stay and sit in this place of woe." Do you really need help doing that? Do you really need help doing that? Do you know that the New York Times, what's that thing you read? Wall Street Journal, that's the one. The Wall Street Journal. Bob's always bringing me articles to read. He gives me homework. It's really hard. The Wall Street Journal not so long ago published something about the 10 most declining cities in America. And of the 10 of them, 5 were in the Ohio Valley. Youngstown, East Liverpool, Weirton. Wheeling didn't make the list, but it could have. We, in very real sense, know what this is like. Know what it's like to not be able to find a good job. Know what it's like to not be able to find a good doctor. Know what it's like to not be able to get your kids good education. Know what it's like to live in a depressed place. And you're waiting for the hope, but it doesn't come in this chapter, so I'm going to keep us here for a minute. And the reason I'm going to keep us here is something that I heard just recently. I went to a conference, and one of the people talking said, you know what we have in our world? We have people who have trouble. And they go to the doctor, and the doctor gives them some diagnosis. And then based on that diagnosis, the doctor gives them some kind of medication. And that can be very real stuff. We shouldn't ignore that. We shouldn't play with it. We shouldn't take it for granted. But she said, but some of us really aren't in that place. And then she went on to say, you know, some people who have problems just need to grieve. We live in a society where we want to move on to the hope right away. We don't just want to sit in the muck and the mire and the mess. And sometimes we have to. If you're not willing to grieve, you'll never move past and through your grief. And you can't grieve if you're so busy running over here to where hope is that you don't stop and stay in that place for a moment. See, this is why the commentators say you won't like this, because what they say is that American society is geared for us not to stay here in this place of mess. And there's probably truth in that. The hip phrase now in cool churches, I'm telling you this because we're a cool church, aren't we? We're hip. Look, at Debbie and I are the hippest people you know. My hair cutter told me recently, I'm going to leave this hair over here like this because then it'll be trendy. I said, I've never been trendy in my life. Okay, thanks. Hip phrase in contemporary churches right now is, turn your mess into a message. Take the garbage in your life and turn it into a witness for Jesus. Take your mess and turn it into a message. That's not a bad phrase, really. But the thing is, if you're so busy worrying about what your message is going to be that you don't pay good enough attention to your mess, your message isn't going to be any good to anybody. Because you've rushed through the process. Sometimes we just have to sit in the muck and deal with it. And that, my friends, is what the people of Israel were doing in the midst of this first chapter of Lamentations. Now, I invite you to read the rest of it, because as you read the rest of the book, and it's very short, it won't take you long, you will find the hope in God that comes. But for the moment, don't be afraid or uncomfortable sitting in the mess, because without that, your mess can never become a message. But with it, you will find healing and hope and wholeness. Thanks be to God. Amen.